Well, when at first, you know, I was when Ron asked me and I agreed to it, I was just kind of saying, "What in the world am I going to speak on?" Because I didn't have a clue. But after I thought on it a minute, I had a experience yesterday morning before I started work. I was actually sitting at work, drinking my coffee, reading my paper, minding my own business, when I got a text on my phone. It was basically a message. If any of you, for those of you that are on Facebook, you understand what Instant Messenger is. Well, I got a message on my Facebook, on my phone, and I looked at it, and it's a picture of a guy with a beard, and I recognized the face, and it's one of the Facebook preachers. His name is Josh something. I can't remember what the name is. But underneath his picture, it says, "Jesus loves gays, and I love gay people." Well, when I seen who this was from, and I'm not going to name names or anything else, it kind of shocked me. But, and it also, on the same sense, it made me angry. Because I said, you know, why am I getting this message? And I just sent back a text, "Has your phone been hacked?" And they sent me back, says, "No, just thought I would shine some light on your judgmental ways. Show you it's not your place to judge them, even if they are wrong." And that made me even more angry. And I got to thinking, you know, what gives this person the right to basically judge me for my stance on gay people? When all I do is understand God's message concerning the homosexual act or sodomy and how God feels about the uncleanness of that activity. And then I sent back a text and said, "What gives you the right to make a statement like that? You made the complete judgmental statement judging me because of the way I feel toward the gay community." When in reality, I don't hate anyone that is gay per se because they haven't gotten in my face. Now, if somebody gets in my face, then they might get something in return. Because I have some customers that come in my shop. Well, by all stature, everybody knows that they lead a gay lifestyle. But, you know, they are my customers, and I give them the respect of that. And I give them the respect that we, as body members, Christians, should give each and every walk of life. But I don't hate the person. I do, however, hate and totally disagree with their practices of their lifestyle. So in the statement, I said, "Are you gay?" Speaking to this person. And because, you know, automatically I get on the defensive and says, "Why are you telling me this? Are you coming out of the closet?" I mean, that's the first thing that I think of. And he said, and they say, "Please, you know I'm not gay. I'm not being judgmental. You know it's true. Every time the gay subject is brought up, you judge them. And you wouldn't be getting them so defensive if it weren't true." And so, you know, I do judge them. But when I do judge them, I'm judging them according to God's word. As being a body member that I am, it is our responsibility or our charge to correct the wrong that we see, whether it's scriptural, especially when it's scripturally wrong. We are to judge. I can't tell you how many times I've faced the fact when I've been confronted and said, well, don't judge them. You can't judge me. You know, well, who's to judge me? I'll be speaking shortly about Paul was judged. And he said, well, who's to judge me of man's judgment? But I said, why do you bring this up? Are you just trying to, you know, trying to aggravate me, push my buttons or whatever? He said, no, I seen it on Facebook this morning, and you were the first person I thought of. You feel the same way as a certain other person does. And you're always preaching about being more Christ-like. And I thought I'd just shine a little light on something that you do that I don't think is right, not trying to aggravate you, just maybe change your views. Change my views, that's what he says. In no way do I agree. Now, this is this person saying, no way do I agree with Gates. Well, what makes him any different than I do? If he don't agree with him, then why is he taking a defense on the gay community if he don't agree with him? I mean, this is just something that I deal with, okay? But then he says, do you hate someone because they have killed or stolen or lied? Well, I just answered that with one word. Possibly. You know, like I said, I could hate somebody for killing. I hate somebody if they steal from me. Scripture teaches to rebuke those that have done these acts. And then he says, research it, search your heart, and figure out for yourself if you still feel that it's okay, then that's your call. But don't you always tell me when you think I'm not doing right? I rarely change the way I view things, but sometimes I actually think about what you say. So this person actually thinks about what I say, but I still think he was trying to, you know, push some buttons on me just to get me aggravated. And it worked. But I did keep a calm head about me after I thought about it a little bit, because anybody that knows me knows that I can get a little aggravated. And they say, just because I'm not constantly in church or studying doesn't mean I can't learn you things, such as me, and possibly make you a better person or Christian, whichever way you want to look at it. And I totally agree with that. I think we, as body members, can learn from everybody. I think it's within the spirit that indwells us that we can learn from everybody, even the gay community, because they are people that's in the gay community that are just as good a people as straight people are. But their hope and their promise is not what Scripture, and I'll back Scripture up every time because it's my job. I believe God. And that's what, when we're confronted with any element to this degree of people that come in front of us, the first thing we have to say, do you believe God? Do you believe God's word? Because that is the one question that we, as body members, that's our solid structural foundation, is that we believe God. And we hold on to His message, and that's our foundation as to how we live our life. So my response to that one was, I understand where you're coming from, But if you want to teach me anything, show me the scripture, or don't automatically call me judgmental for judging. Read Romans 1:17-32. If scripture says it's wrong, I say it's wrong. If I'm being judgmental, then that's what I am. Scripture also said the greatest commandment is to love. And I believe that. I'm human just like anybody and make mistakes. But when I do, I apologize for them. And I'm not apologizing for not supporting homosexuality, and I never will. And then this person says, well, I never said support gays. I'm sorry, but I think you did. I simply say I just don't hate them. Hatred isn't any better than any other sin, and I knew you would find some scripture to support your views, but at least I made you think. And if anything, that kind of gave me a boost when this person said, I knew you would find some scriptures to support your views. Because as a body member, it is our job to live according to the scriptures. We are not perfect by any shape, form, or fashion, but we know that. But we know that Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins, and we try our best to live the best possible lifestyle or life that we can according to scriptures. And the scriptures that we as body members go by are out of Paul's messages, because the Apostle Paul was given the message to the Gentiles. Nowhere else in Scripture, I mean, there are doctrines that we can use throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that we can use, that we do use. But the Gentiles are Paul's people. So we not only follow Christ's message, Christ gave Paul the authority and the message for us. So he says, well, maybe you should attempt to educate some gays. And not me. I'm not gay, so don't say it. So now he gets on the defensive because I asked this person if he was gay. And I just said, well, you started it. So that's my lead into this morning's presentation. And at that kind of, I felt like that was a good lead-in for my study, which is judgment. And I don't know how far I'll be able to go into this, but it was quickly put together, and I apologize if it's a little out of probably not in the order that I would like it to be if I'd had a little more time. But this is what it is, because I'm not sure if you guys have been accused of being judgmental or not, because this is not the first time I was accused of being judgmental. So I said, well, you know what? Maybe I need to kind of look into this a little bit and work on it some. And this is probably not the finished work that I have, but this is just what I have this morning. And it might lead to more of a discussion than a study or a teaching, so to say. Because I'm speaking to the choir here. You guys are probably better learned on this subject than I am. So the people that are judging us most of the time use scripture from Matthew when they say, judge not lest you be judged. So they, you know, they automatically said, "Don't judge me, unless you're going to be judged." They pull it out of Matthew 7, 1 to 3. "Judge not that ye be judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And what beholdest thou, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest the beam that is in thine own eye?" Well, the mote here is a straw, and the beam is a log that's in your own eye. And I understand this passage, but they're using this passage like in the reference I was just talking about, and it's not even feasible to fall into that. Because I am judging against homosexuality. I don't practice it. I don't endorse it. So I don't have that judgment within myself of being a partaker, so to say, or have the straw or the board in my eye. Now, if I'm judging someone of consuming alcohol, well, then I would be judging them of the same thing I'm doing, because I do drink alcohol occasionally. In 1 Corinthians 4, 3 to 5, let's look at that for a second. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment." This is the apostle. He's being judged by those in Corinth. "Yea, I judge not mine own self." He's not judging by his own judgment. He says in 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that justifieth me is the Lord." Paul gets his judgment that he gives from the Lord, just as we do. In 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man praise God." Okay. Do they, the said preachers, preach God's punishment for the gay's lifestyle? Because this message that he posted on my site was a video of this preacher that I was talking about, saying that he was in a restaurant and a girl came up to him and he wanted her to come to his church, and she said, "Well, I can't because you hate gay people and I'm gay." So then he went into all this spiel about, "Oh, but I love you and just come to church." And so he is basically falling into the same area that the Catholics, they're getting politically correct, and they are saying that it's okay to be gay. Let's all just get along. If they're delivering God's message, how can they say it's okay to be gay? Because throughout the New Testament, it speaks against homosexuality, or it refers to it most of the time as uncleanness. Throughout Jude 1, it speaks on it. And since I might not have time, let's go to 2 Peter 2. And we're going to read 4 to 22. And this is God's judgment, okay? And this is a prior dispensation. This is Peter speaking to Israel. This is basically speaking history and how God deals with mankind or those that practice such. So 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. Now this word hell is Tartaru, and this is the only place in the scripture that this reference of hell is used. And this is the only reference used that could even come close. I'm just saying come close to today's man's version of everlasting tormenting hell. This is the closest one that could come to it, because Tartaru is cast down to incarcerate in eternal torment, or the deepest abyss of Hades. So this is below Hades, which is the grave, that we understand that pretty much everybody's going to be going to in one way, fashion, or form. But in 2:5, and spared not, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood upon the world of ungodly. Well, God destroyed the world because the whole world was unrighteous except for Noah, the eighth person, and his family. This is another example of what God, when God dishes punishment to the world or mankind, to my knowledge, it's every time it's got to do with sexual immorality. In 2:6, and turning to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. Okay, we know for a fact that homosexuality is not used in Scripture, but sodomy is. And sodomy is homosexuality. So it just comes from the term that came from Sodom, that the entire city, except for the three that came out, the rest of the city was laden with homosexual activity. And it, when you get to reading the story, well, you wonder if Sodom's wife might have had some type of activity herself because she had to look back. So only three came out, which was Lot and his two daughters. Well, God is totally against, and I don't see how any pastor, preacher, Christian, anybody else can accept the gay lifestyle. We don't hate the sinner. We do hate the sin, because it's God's message for us to do so. And 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversion of the wicked. See, Lot hated being there. For that righteous man, this is Lot, the righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. When you live God's message, when you walk God's message, you are righteous. I mean, I'm not puffing myself up here. I'm not saying anything of the sort. But I feel as though I'm living a righteous life by supporting God's Word. Okay? In 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and resolve the unjust unto the day of judgment and punished. That speaks volumes. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Everybody knows how to study God's Word. Well, maybe they don't know how, but that's our job, is to teach them. And 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as nature's natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in that day. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that they exercise with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. How often do we see that? But was rebuked for his iniquity, for the dumbass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. While they promise themselves liberty, does that sound like some of today's churches, some of today's messages? They themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior, Christ Jesus, I changed that because that's the way it is, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have known, not have known. I don't know why I overlook that word not sometimes, because that's the way, that don't sound right. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the proverb, the dog turneth to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in mire. And that comes from Proverbs 26, 11 and 12. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a wise man in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So the question asked me is, what gives you the right to judge? That's what was asked me. What gives me the right to judge? Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. The scripture says, the apostle Paul says, for to the truth, to the church, the one body, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The rebuke is the Greek form epitimeo, to tax upon, i.e. censure or admonish, by implication forbid, to straitly charge. Christ has a message to the disciples, and I'm going to ask, is this true for us also? In Matthew 10, 14 to 16. And whosoever shall not receive you. Now this is Christ delivering, asking his disciples to go forth and deliver the message, deliver his message. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily or truthfully, I say unto you, if Christ says verily, well, you better be listening, Bubba. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So is this true for us also? I'm going to leave that question to you. Let's look in Ephesians 4. And I probably don't have time to read all of it, but we're going to look at it anyway. Ephesians 4, I didn't write it down, so I got to read it. 17 to 32. This I say, therefore, and testify that the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. This is truth for today. This is our walk. We've all heard it countless times, and I hope we will hear it, or I will hear it innumerable times more, because I wished I could read it from memory and not have to look at it to speak it. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being in past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness. Every time we deal with this on a daily basis, I do, and I hope you don't have to, but if you do, this is what we deal with. The people we deal with today are no better than the Gentiles of old. And here we are in 2014, supposed to be a modern society that, well, the society should be smarter than what it is, okay? But I guess sin and Satan is going to continuously work in the hearts of mankind. In 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have learned him, heard him, and have been taught by him, the truth is in Christ. that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Does it say not be angry? No, it says be ye angry, but sin not. Don't allow the anger that dwells within you to consume you and make you be harmful or use words that would grieve the Holy Spirit. I've thought several times that I possibly grieved the Holy Spirit when I allowed the inner man in me kind of get carried away. But it says, be ye angry and sin not, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working his hands the things which is good. This is the walk that the righteous man should change his ways if he is living the other way, to stop it, repent, and go back to living this lifestyle. Working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's the body member. Edifying. Every time we have a conference, there's nothing but edification coming out of the people that are around. It's such a blessing. I can still feel the people's presence from our last conference, and we're about to have another conference in a few weeks, and it can't get here soon enough for me. But use that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That is a pregnant statement if there ever was one. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Every possible way you can do it, don't allow it to happen. With all malice, every fiber of your being, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. And in 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I've got a few other. I was going to read through Ephesians 5, 1 to 13, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful message. Where the Apostle Paul admonishes, but fornication and all uncleanness or filthiness or foolish talking or jesting be put away from you. For this you know in 5, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, in bold red letters, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. How can someone bring the gay community into their home, into their church, and not tell them God's message, that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? And in 7 it says, be not ye therefore partakers. Okay, you're gay. I do love you. Be not a partaker of the homosexual lewdness act that you're living in, because you have no hope. You're going to die a death that has no hope whatsoever. That's the message that this preacher should be preaching on Facebook, But yet he's going to be politically correct and allow Satan to enter into his midst by saying it's okay to be gay. I'm sorry, but this strikes me to no end. In 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 25. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. That's our job. To be the vessel of honor. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. That's why at work a lot of times I just turn around and walk off when I'm asked a question. Some might say it's rude. Some might say it's kind of boisterous in the way I do it. But I'm just avoiding the foolish question that's offered. Why do I need to spend my time regurgitating the same truth over and over when it's not listened? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That's what I'm working on, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will, this is the only time Paul uses the word repentance. If God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that is the message that the churches need to be preaching in churches. And my last scripture reference is Philippians 1, 9 through 11. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Are we to judge? Let me ask you, are you to judge? That ye may approve all things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God. And in the CB notes there on excellence is to differ. We are to test the things, and having found them to differ, must not join them together, but rightly divide them. But that's my message. My little short message on judgment, and I just felt the Lord led me to do that because I guess I've been hit with being judgmental a few times too many, and I just had to vent with you guys. And I hope you got something out of it. It's my prayer that it did edify the body. Even though it's not a beautiful message, but the true message is Christ. That we are members of His body, and that being such, if we live God's message in His Word, we are to judge. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, I ask that You search the hearts of myself and those that are listening in, either here or at a later date. Lord, to search our hearts and see anyone that's within our hearts that need a healing touch or someone that needs spiritual guidance, Lord, that we help them, that you, Lord, that you touch them, that you send your Spirit in amongst them and heal them, Lord. And Lord, in all these things, I pray and I thank you, dear Lord, for your guidance in helping me this day, Lord, because the message was all through you. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.